Well, what is your favorite Christmas film? What's your favorite Christmas film? There are loads, aren't there? They just, you know what is going to be on the TV schedules over the next week or so. Maybe you've seen some already. Certain films have become fixtures in our calendar, in the seasonal calendar. Home Alone, guaranteed that's going to be on TV. It's a Wonderful Life. Any others come to mind? The Grinch, Elf, Miracle on 34th, Christmas Carol. I gave you a clue earlier about Christmas. Die Hard apparently is a Christmas. Yeah, apparently that is up there on the top Christmas films. I need to be reminded about why, but I'm sure there is a good reason. Thank you, Nathan. Christmas Carol. A miserly old man whose life's focus has been making money at the expense of everything else. He receives warnings from the next world to change his ways before it's too late. That's the topic of A Christmas Carol. Have you seen that film recently? You've done pretty well if you've missed it, because since it came out in the 19th century, there have been numerous films. There's a new one out this year, apparently, about it. It's by Charles Dickens. 1843 was when it first came out. And it sort of entered our national psyche, I think, in terms of its main character. You have Scrooge, the miserly old man. You might have heard someone called, you may have been called an old Scrooge at some point if you're being a bit stingy. It's from that. And the phrase, bah humbug, I'm not going along with this sort of thing. That's from A Christmas Carol. First made into a film in 1901. I'm sure you can find that somewhere online. 1951, arguably the best version ever. Go and watch that if you haven't seen it, if you can cope with black and white films. 1992, guess what version that was? Yeah, not black and white, because Kermit in black and white wouldn't have been very good. His lovely green and red mouth. Muppet's Christmas Carol, a classic, and actually one of the closest to the book, apart from Kermit the Frog, of course. One quote from the Muppet's Christmas Carol, Scrooge says to Mr. Cratchit, it's Christmas Eve. Cratchit, let us deal with the eviction notices for tomorrow, Mr. Cratchit. Cratchit replies, well, Kermit replies, but tomorrow is Christmas, sir. To which Scrooge says, very well, you may gift wrap them. It's a lovely character, isn't he, Scrooge? Some of those Christmas films contain messages which can help us grasp the story of stories, the account. Dickens gave as his goal this. This is what he wrote in the front of his book. I have endeavored in this ghostly little book to raise the ghost of an idea which shall not put my readers out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with me. May it haunt their houses pleasantly. And it comes in five parts. Let me just give you a reminder of the general gist of the story. Starts off, it's Christmas Eve. It shows us Scrooge before the events of the book, what he's like. And we see him, he clearly dislikes Christmas in every respect. He sends people away with a flea in their ear. He refuses his dinner invitation from his own nephew, who actually, if you read the book, nephew's mother, his sister, wanted Scrooge to look after him, to do everything to look after his nephew. He refuses that invitation. Not because he's afraid of COVID, he's just Scrooge. And they come, and some men come to his office and seek a donation for charitable causes, the poor children. And he says this, are there no poorhouses? Are there no prisons? In other words, no, thank you very much. I'm not going to give you a penny. Bob Cratchit is looking for the day off on Christmas Day, and he only grudgingly gives him that. Bob Cratchit says, oh, if convenient, sir. To which Scrooge says, it's never convenient. You always say that every year. But he gives him the day off grudgingly. So this is Scrooge, summed up in that quote where he says, every idiot who goes about with Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly through his heart. Yeah. Now, I'm guessing that even over the next few days, when you're a bit fed up with Christmas, you're hopefully not going to feel that strongly about it. But that night, he's visited by his former business partner, Marley. Marley comes in, dead, so he's a ghost, comes in clanking with money boxes and chains attached to him. And it's horrendous for Scrooge to see the condition he's in. Even more horrendous to hear the message that Marley has, which is basically, you're going to be in a position that's worse than me if you carry on as you are. That's how it begins. Scrooge before the events. And then you have the events of that night. Three spirits visit him. The first one, the ghost of Christmas past. And Scrooge is shown his past. He's shown the things that he's turned his back on. His first employer, who worried a bit less about money but more about the warmth of the work environment. He cared about his employees. Scrooge turned his back on him. He's shown his ex-fiancée, whom he effectively gave up because he and she realized that he loved money more than he loved her. He sees from the outside and from the mouths of others what he has become. And he starts to see himself differently. Second spirit comes to visit him, the ghost of Christmas present. And he takes Scrooge on a bit of a journey, shows the people that he is ignoring in his life as it is at the moment, shows his nephew Fred with his family, celebrating Christmas together. Yeah, they don't have a lot, but they're around the fire and they're warm and they love each other. Scrooge looks on at what he doesn't have. He takes him to the Cratchit's house. He sees, again, a family with little and perhaps soon with less because we see that young, Tiny Tim is really ill, and Scrooge, it's revealed to him that Tiny Tim probably will not live if he does not receive the sort of medical care he can't have. God bless us, everyone. That's Tiny Tim. That's the ghost of Christmas present. And then Scrooge, back in bed, hears the third dong, and the third bell goes at 3 a.m, and a third spirit comes, the ghost of Christmas future. Or the ghost of Christmas yet to come, as Dickens puts it. And he's shown his bank, first of all. And he thinks, oh, that's where I normally sit. Where am I? And he starts to realize that maybe this is a future after he has died. And the people in the bank are talking about a funeral. We had a funeral here just this week. They happen in life, don't they? And he is seeing, though, his own. And his work colleagues are talking about the funeral. Oh, are you going to go? Only if there's lunch. Yeah. Only going to go if there's lunch. Oh, that's what I'm worth to them. And then he sees various people, how they treat him and his goods after he's gone. And he sees his laundress, I think it is, and his doctor even, or some medical person, and someone else. They nick all his stuff, even his bed curtains from his bed. And they go and sell it to some crook. And they're going through it and they're saying, oh, isn't this great? Poetic justice. He scared us all off in life, but we're benefiting from him in death. What poetic justice. And Scrooge is looking on. This is how my life is valued. Stage 5. It's very different. It's the next morning when he wakes up and all of that has gone and worked its way through him. He makes a massive donation to charity. He sees a little boy out the window and orders the biggest turkey to be sent to the Cratchits, double the size of Tiny Tim. And everything changes. Everything. Because he has become a changed man. Now, some of our fictional stories in our culture can help us get a bit of a handle on the reality behind them. There are three themes I want to pause on from that story. Three themes. They appear in Dickens' story, but actually they find a much more concrete reality in God's word to us in the Bible. First of the themes is compassion. Compassion. It's a massive theme in Dickens' book. Scrooge is asked for charity to make provision for the poor, and his response is that one I gave. Are there no poor houses? Are there no prisons to put those people? And then he says to the people asking for charity, besides, it's not my business. And there's that question that comes back to him from one of the men, isn't it, sir? Marley shows his chains to Scrooge. Scrooge says to him, but you are a good man of business. Marley says, business? Mankind was my business. Scrooge lives for money. People have fallen by the wayside in his life, his fiancée, his employer, others. There is no compassion. There are a number of Bible references quoted in the book. The first one, or at least one of them, comes up. It's 1 Corinthians 13, where this verse is read as Scrooge sees his ex-fiancée caring for the poor at Christmas time. It's this: if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing. And Scrooge looks at that and realizes, okay, I'm nothing. That's me. His has been a loveless life, and Dickens is making an important point in his time. Victorian England and his own experience made him realize things needed to change. He actually, his father was in debtor's prison at one point, so he knew what poverty was like. He visited some of the ragged schools in London. I think Dickens didn't necessarily have a kind of clear evangelical Christianity, but he had a sort of broad, you know, God is good and should affect what we do, idea of Christianity, sort of Victorian cultural Christianity. But the message of compassion, the message of love towards our fellow man, is, of course, a Bible one. In fact, the Bible gives us the greatest grounds for it. Not only does it say, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, but it gives us that grounding, the fact that our fellow men and women are made in the image of God, the Bible tells us. To make us take hold of that theme and say, yeah, that's a Bible theme. Compassion. Doing good to the needy is not the sum total of Christianity, but it is a necessary accompaniment to it. So let me just encourage you this Christmas. We can think a lot about ourselves, can't we? How has God provided for you? How has God given generously to you? And are you looking out to other people? This is something that should change our whole outlook and then work itself out in specific ways, as it does with Scrooge. He starts to pay his housekeeper double, and you know, when he's changed, it affects how he engages with people. Compassion. Big theme in the Christmas Carol. Second big theme. I'm going to call it clarity. Clarity is provided in A Christmas Carol. Scrooge is revealed the danger of the path that he's headed on in really vivid and terrifying terms by those who see the full picture of what lies ahead. He's given clarity on life. So Marley says to him, I come tonight to warn you, clink, clank, clink, all his chains and everything. I come tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and a hope of escaping my fate. His past is revealed, his present is exposed, his future is open to him in the spirit of Christmas yet to come, and it's terrifying for him. There is clarity, and it's a future of wandering in chains. And he's so fixed on his path in life that actually it takes something else. No one else in his world he won't hear it from them. It takes someone from another world to come in and break in to get his attention. And it's painful for him. He doesn't want to hear those spirits. But actually that foggy thinking is replaced by clarity, painful as it is. Now, if it is true that God has come to us as a man, then this has actually happened for us, hasn't it? That's what we've been reading all night. Do you notice the angel coming and saying, you know, I'm telling you that God is coming, no one less than God. He's coming into this world. You think he's just coming for, I don't know, for a different sort of holiday? No, he's coming for a purpose. Let me read from John chapter 1 because it tells us something about his coming. John chapter 1 verse 9, the true light that gives light, in other words, clarity to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world, what, received him heartily and embraced him and said, oh yeah, good Christian men, rejoice, this is brilliant. No, the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his people did not believe him. Jesus coming is that breaking in of God to our world to warn us, the Bible says, to make us ready to shed light where we don't see where we're headed. He tells us very, very clearly. And it's not just a warning about living lives of compassion. It's not just about how we relate to one another. Primarily, in fact, it's a warning about how we get right with God. And that sort of warning can be really painful. I know there are many of you here. It was painful. Because it's quite nice being Scrooge and thinking you're right and going on life this way. To suddenly be brought up short by something from another world and have all of your assumptions challenged in that way. It's terrifying. But even Scrooge would look back on what happened to him that night and say, I'm so glad it did. The message of Christmas is that we can have clarity about life if we listen to Jesus. Find that clarity in God's word. You're not going to find it on your TV schedules much this holiday or most Christmas cards. You'll find it for certain in here. Let me encourage you to think about how you're going to hear it and hear that message of clarity. Compassion, clarity, change. There's another great theme in A Christmas Carol. It's the possibility that a life can be turned around before it's too late. Change. Scrooge says to, I think it's the second spirit, I'm too old and beyond hope. He's kind of seeing his life at that point. He realizes the problem, but he feels like he's like a wagon with his wheels in rut. He can't change course at this stage in life. It's too late. And he says to the third spirit, who's showing him the future, he says, are these shadows of things that must be or only things that might be? And he suddenly starts to hope for something different, and he even uses the sorts of words we see in the Bible. He says, I do repent. That means complete change. I do repent. There is this massive and complete change in the story, in the book. And when he wakes up that next morning, his housekeeper just cannot believe the difference that she sees in him. And he's dancing around the room and getting a bit crazy. And she says, are you quite yourself, sir? And he says, I hope not. He really doesn't want to be what he was. To Bob Cratchit, who thinks he's gone mad. No, Bob, I haven't taken leave of my senses. I've come to them. That's a great description of what it is to hear Jesus and be changed by his message, to come to our senses. To his nephew, he says, can you forgive a pig-headed old fool for having no eyes to see with, no ears to hear with, all these years? The story is one of dramatic change. He is unrecognizable, Scrooge at the end, from Scrooge at the beginning. And it's really obvious when you read the book that he should change and that he needs to change. It's a lot less obvious, though, isn't it, that I need to change. I might not be perfect, but surely I don't share Scrooge's problems. I don't need to change, do I? Well, Jesus thinks we do. He says to his disciples, "Truly I say to you, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." His first words in his ministry are change, repent, repent. And he doesn't mean just start giving to charity, just do those outward things, just buy a big turkey for whoever. Give not only to others, but primarily give to God what is his. Give to God what is his. In other words, my life. That's what the Bible calls us to. Jesus, yes, demands change, but even more wonderfully, he enables change. Because nothing can stay the same once Jesus has brought us to our senses. That's the message of the Bible. Compassion, clarity, change. Three big themes in A Christmas Carol, reflecting three big Bible truths. Now, I don't care if you don't read the book A Christmas Carol this Christmas or even watch any of the many adaptations probably on offer. Most important thing is for us to hear the message we've been given. I do pray that you'll be doing that more. And even if you do watch it or another version of it or even read the book, pick up the book and think, oh yeah, let's go back and see some of the detail of that. Remember that it's just a reflection of wonderful truths the Bible gives us. This clarity has been given to us from God. He's not sent three spirits, he's sent one son. So we can listen. We can have our eyes opened. We can change. "I'm too old and beyond hope," says Scrooge. Wonderfully, he realizes that is not true. I'm going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for fun stories like A Christmas Carol that can entertain, but thank you far more than that. Thank you for your word to us that we've been reading all evening. Father, would you help us to be really attentive to it? Would you help us to see it for what it really is? And would you enable it by your Holy Spirit to do the work in us of change that you desire to do? We dare to ask for that sort of change this Christmas because we realize that is actually the most important thing above all of the tat sometimes and the demands of Christmas. Most of all, you demand our lives. And we pray that we would give them in Jesus' name. Amen.